today, Lord, for your grace that you have given us. Come together, Father, in this manner. Together also in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And thy presence being here with us, O Lord. Father, as Jesus Christ gathered with his disciples by the shore of Galilee, and he break the bread of life to them, so do it so to us even now, Father. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord Jesus will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Will the second coming of Christ and the judgment occur at the same time on the last day? As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming, and of the end of the age?" "They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky, with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. The reason why Christ comes a second time is not to judge, but to save the chosen. So, in order to be saved, we must meet Christ, who appears on the clouds before the last judgment with fire. Then what does the cloud mean? Is it the clouds in the sky? Clouds are a biblical parable which means the flesh. "There before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power." This is a prophecy about Jesus, who was given authority, glory, and kingdom by God. Jesus came to this earth in the flesh, just like other people. However, the Bible said that Jesus would come with the clouds. Why does the Bible liken the flesh to the clouds? First, it is because just as the clouds cover the sunlight, the flesh covers the light of God's glory. Second, it is because just as all things revive through the rain from the clouds, God comes in the flesh and saves mankind through the words of the water of life. At the time of Jesus' first coming, the disciples, who understood that clouds meant the flesh, believed in Jesus and received salvation. At Jesus' second coming too, the people who realize that the clouds mean the flesh believe in Christ An Sang Hong and receive salvation. We hope that you will absolutely believe the prophecies of the Bible, receive Christ An Sang Hong, who has come in the flesh, and be saved.
Well, you have seen that video. So you believe that Jesus, we say, have already come in Christ An Sang Hong. Now, this is the ways of Satan to deceive mankind. And here we have this one from Korea. I mean, in Korea there are in fact a couple of cultic groups. So you have this one who climbs up Christ, and we have the Pope who climbs out, the Holy Father, and we have those who call Brother Branham the Absolute. Yeah, we have all kinds of people on this earth. But these are the ways of Satan deceiving the people of the world, and through men like this that you see, using the men's way, men's thinking, how Satan used them to deceive the people of this earth, especially religious people. Now, my subject today is the ways of God. We're going to discuss about the ways of God. I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 8 to 11. We have many verses of scripture to turn to. And it's going to be a long look into the Word of God in many various places of the Bible. But let us go to Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and return not thither, but water the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that which goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. Now I think that we all know, many as believers here in this little fellowship, there's nothing more important to any believer, any child of God, other than the Word of God. Without this Word of God, you do not know what life is all about. You don't really know the meaning of life. You may think like the philosopher, you know, maybe like Confucius, Thomas, or Lawson, who think that, well, the life and the purpose of mankind is to love, have compassion, leave your name behind, a legacy behind, by your example, your character that you live. And you can depart peacefully into this, from this world, to another life. Perhaps a reincarnation life, to where, well, some will believe you become one with the universe. Now, if that is the purpose of life, I think that is man most miserable. I think that is, truly will be. And like the Bible teaches us, that if Christ did not resurrect, then we who are believer of Christ, believer on His gospel, for He said, trust me, believe in me, then we have believed in vain. Then we are made most miserable to have trust someone who make a fool of us. Is it not true? Is it not right? You are here. How do you know that you are not deceived? How do you know that you are following a truth that guarantees eternal life? How do you know? You see, we have that crowd of people, that large congregation of people, that go to this Christ Ang San Hong and go there. And then I want to follow Reverend Moon. Huh? And there are those that follow the Pope, papacy. How do they know that they are already in the truth? You know we believe different from these people. What make you so sure that you have the truth, that you have the real truth and life of the living God? How do you know? You need to know. Well, you ask any question, say, I know because the Bible said so. Well, that's good. Everybody knows the Bible said so. But this group that you see now, just now, huh? I mean, they follow this preacher, and he shows the word. Oh, that the cloud means the flesh. So how you see how they interpret that thing? But and they all believe it is true because it comes from the mouth of that preacher. But the thing is, I always encourage you, as Bible always tells you. Paul said, the word of God, the scripture of God, is given by inspiration. And there's no other scripture on this earth that you can say is inbred by God. You have Buddhist script, you have the Hindu script, you have the various scripts in the world. But only the sacred scripture of God is proven to be true. But how do you understand the word of God? You know, I said this many times, and even had a discussion with believers over in another country. I said this, that when we come to our faith, just the word faith, we need to look into the Bible. But I have people who are in the other extreme church, the friend of mine, the extreme group, will say, but again, if you say we look into the Bible, look at denomination. The Methodists, the Baptists, the Baptists, but then all the others, hundreds and hundreds of them, they too look into the Bible, but yet they are wrong. They have their doctrine, their interpretations, their creeds and their dogmas. Therefore, again, how can we say we know the Bible? That's why we need the prophet. And that's why you have to say what the prophet said. That's what they mean. So they stay with Abraham and look into what Abraham said, and they left the Bible. But let me tell you this, brother. I was telling that sister over in the States. That the denomination, you can talk to a Methodist, a Presbyterian, or a Baptist, or whatever. You can sit down and discuss the Bible, right? They will turn to the Bible with you. Is that alright? No doubt, in the back of their mind, maybe a Methodist mind, maybe a Presbyterian, maybe a Pentecostal mind, because they are in that tradition. But at least they open the Bible, at least to try to understand what the Bible teaches. And I believe, as Bob Ben said, if you have the Holy Spirit, He will guide you and lead you into all truth. Is that not the purpose of the Holy Spirit? But on the other hand, the prayer minds are different. You show them the scripture, brother God, we don't know the scripture. Only the prophet knows the scripture. Many of them tell me that. Because the word of the Lord comes only to the prophet. And they will quote it like that without an understanding. And so instead of turning to the Bible, they're trying to figure out what Brother Branham said. And I tell you one thing, the Holy Spirit will not lead you into any revelation by looking at any man's word. You have to look into God's word. Remember the Berean. Remember what Paul said to the Berean. These are wise, isn't it so? He told the Thessalonica that this in Berea, they are wise because they check up what I speak, whether those things be true. How do they know that Paul was speaking the truth? They have to dig into the scripture and look at it. How do I know Brother Man was speaking the truth? I have to look into the scripture. That's what they did. How did those people back in the days of Luther? I mean, they knew what Luther said. They judge only by faith. Yeah, they were Catholic. They were doing all the penance, the Mariology, the sign, and all that. Doing the penance. But when Luther said the just and live by faith, Luther expired. And these people began to look into the scripture. Here is that. You have to look into the scripture. Well, you know how church history, the Lutheran went to an organization. Then here came John Wesley. He preached about sanctification. Because what? The Lutheran, the Baptist, but then you know, they said, well, we're Christian, that's all right. And they packed away their cigarettes, the cigarette, and they drink and get drunk. That's why John Wesley, when he knew what sanctification is, he preached sanctified life. You want to show them the scripture that salvation is not all that is to it. Justification is not all that is to it. Because God did not justify you to make you go back and sin. That's for sure. You can never be a sinner saint. Either you are a saint or you are a sinner. You cannot be both. And if we are saved out of this world, being a sinner, we are saved. Then how can we go back to sinning? And that's why when John Wesley preached that, people's heart was convicted, because the Bible said so. I'm God. God said that. Be holy as I am holy. Did not the Bible said that? You know. But there are times a lot of this wasn't even emphasized. You know, that's the word of God. Why did God give us this Bible? 66 book, you know. And many people don't even read it once even. Huh? How to read? Because it's boring. Maybe to some of us. But life is in this scripture. And if you're born of the Holy Spirit of God, born of His Word, the Spirit of God will only take you to His Word. Not the word of Brother Brown, not the word of any preacher. You have to look into the Bible. Take it up on what you hear and how you hear. Now here we have Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 11. Now, Israel has always been a people who are rebellious, as you know. But I like the way that God said here, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and sure, that is true. Neither my way is your way. But you know, sometimes when we look at the things in the Bible, what God demands, and this and that, he says, wow, that's kind of hard to follow. Isn't that true? Many of us find very hard to follow, huh? We grumble. And sometimes when we are down and we go through a trial, and we don't like it. Many times our trial is actually our own problem. We cause it. We bring it upon ourselves. And therefore, don't blame God for that. You know. But when there are trial that comes our way, we grumble. We don't like it. And think about Job. Like Brother Henry said, he talked about Job. Who could not see, who could not lie down because of the boils and the carbuncles on his body. He suffered in pain day and night, 24 hours a day. Can't even sit because on his buttock there are all sores. He can't lie down because practically the whole body has it. But you know what? Job, I never read where he grumbled. Yeah, his friend got to console him, counsel with him, oh, Job, maybe you did this, that's why this thing happened, this, and so on. And sometimes that's perhaps the kind of my real reason. And yet in the end, when the wife said to him, said, why don't you just curse God and die? That's the kind of man, the kind of woman. We receive everything, and Job said, oh, we only come here to receive good things from God. And then we bless the name of the Lord. When bad thing comes our way, we want to curse God. You see, we are carnal human beings, born in sin. When God gives us life, He is changing our mind. He makes us to think. That's why I said, to have the mind of Christ, so to speak. In this mind of Christ being you. You know, you think like Christ. What would Jesus do in such a situation? See? So, my ways are not your ways, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And the last part here, it says here, in verse 11, my word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty. Whatever I send it to you, it must return back to me, a prophet, a result. So now, think about if God give you eternal life, save you, make you His children, do you think that God would not finish the work? Do you think that God, halfway along the journey, dump you? No. He cannot save you to be lost. That's why we believe in eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Right? But in the ways of God, there is the thoughts of God. You know, in God, when we talk about the love of God, there is also on the other side. How do you know what love is? Okay, let me ask this question. What comes first? Chicken or egg? That sort of thing. Now you all know, right? So what comes first? Chicken. You know well, it's chicken. What comes first? The fish or the water? The fish or the ocean? Which one comes first? Come on now. They got the thing right. What, the ocean first? Because there's water, then God make fish? No, because there's fish, then God make water. Fish come first. What come first? Sinner or Savior? Oh. So have to be a Savior, because God's attribute. To prove that He's a Savior, He must allow sinners. He allows sin to come. Not that He follows it. Because He was a healer, He is a healer, there must be sickness. Not because the sickness first, then God said, oh, let me be a healer. No. You see? What comes first? Creator or creature? You cannot say, oh, there are creatures. Then someone said, oh, let me be a creator. That's nonsense, right? It must be a creator first, then a creature. So, when you talk about God is love, but on the other side, that's love of God. But do you know that on the opposite side of that love, there is hate? Now, do you think God hates anything? After all, God is love. We always say God is love, God is love, God is love. Does God hate? Yes. Because of love, when He sees sin, He must hate sin. Anything that is contrary to His holiness, His word, purity of life, He hates that. He is the light. There's no darkness in Him. And so when darkness comes, He has to put that darkness away. That's why He doesn't want you and me to be in darkness. Because we are children of light. The whole world is in darkness. Look at what you've just seen in that video. Religious darkness. People are caught up in all that religious darkness where they don't even know what truth is. But, like we were saying on Friday, what did God call you sheep? What did Jesus call you sheep? And He is the good shepherd. And you are sheep. Why sheep? Why not call you deer? Liken you to deer. Or liken you to pigs. Why sheep? Do you know that the sheep, of all animals, sheep is a very dumb animal? They are really dumb and they are stupid. Dumb. You don't think so? Do you know that the pig is more intelligent? You can turn a pig to do tricks. Do you know that? Yes. But you try to turn a sheep to do tricks, you'll never see. Have you ever seen anything? You ever seen a circle where pigs come out and do tricks? Yes. But ever see a circle where sheep come out and do tricks? They won't do anything. They're just dumb. That's why it's so important that the shepherd, when they lead the sheep to the pasture, the shepherd must go forth and check the area of the field. Make sure that there is no poisonous weeds, because the sheep will just eat it. And that's why when you are sheep, you go to any church, when the shepherd, the pastor, they will just dish you out any kind of food, you are really dumb, you will just eat it. And you will swallow it. Hook, line, and sinker. That's true. And that's why the Bible teaches us to be wise. Then Paul said, I pray God will give me the spirit of wisdom
and the revelation. We need it. And how do we get it?
We need the Holy Ghost baptism.
We need to look into the Bible because the Spirit will take us into the Bible. A lot of people who have never been Holy Ghost filled. They go to church, they listen to what the pastor said, they say, Amen. And you look at the charismatic out there. Here in Singapore. The deception. People are giving all the money. And where did the money go? To the wife? To be a pop singer? To be a pop star in the world? What's wrong with that? Has Christians lost their decency in doing what is right? You see, we have our own ways of thinking. Oh, we think, oh, this is right, this is right. Yes. You know, as I said, we get requests from different churches or from pastor, minister, even some believer from overseas requesting for money. People who are not even known for support, for food, or drugs coming. Our church needs to repent. Do I have compassion for them? I have compassion for them. But I'm not that stupid just giving out money like that. Because there are a lot of people who are con men. How many people have been conned before? And there are people who know that Christians are supposed to be compassionate, filled with love, filled with charity. Is that alright? To help. Yes. Until I know what's going on, I cannot just simply throw the money away. And that's what I said, it stresses me out anytime when I get requests from people I don't know. And sometimes even very nasty. He replied to me and says, I'm a Christian. We are Christian. You are Christian. Why is your love for me? You know, why is your love for me? You can't even send me a few dollars. No, not actually a few dollars, a few hundreds or even $1,000 or $2,000 to help us. I don't even know who you are. You see? So, when we think about God's way, we want to realize that we cannot fight for with Him. Because His ways are perfect. His thoughts are perfect. It's only very hard for us to comprehend that. Because why? We're in the flesh. We are still in this nature. We think that we know more than God. Yeah, sometimes even I myself get frustrated when I see all the evil that's being done. You know, you hear the report, you read the report. Say, oh my, I wish I could do this to them. I know I judge them. Of course, that's because if we are God, we will all judge everybody already. Huh? Because you see, that's why when I was working out there in the hospital, they said, if you believe in your Jesus is God, then why doesn't He stop all this war and all this killing and all this suffering? That's how people think, you see. But in our thinking as Christians, he said, oh, that man did so bad a thing. He should get his, you know, just, what do you call that word? Just deserve. Yeah. He should get his just deserve. Immediately judge him. He wanted to pass judgment. Because you see the horrific thing they have done. You know. But you know what? God sees the world. Already from the beginning, he saw all the things that is going on, and he let it be. What did God allow it? What did God allow it? God allowed mankind to do what they want, because he has already sent the word. He's only looking for those that belongs to him, that Jesus said. I came to look for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Even the Syrophoenician woman came to her, to him. Give us, you know, some bread. Give me some. She was looking for healing. And Jesus said, I cannot take the bread from the table of the children and give it to dogs. And she said, well, even the dogs pick up the crumbs from the master's table, under the master's table. You see, what you are saying, children,
And you can wonder how could it be like that, that God is so a racist. Huh? I mean, he came and said, I will come to seek for the lordship of the house of Israel, not the Gentiles. But, you know, now we understand what happened. But if we were there, how would we react? But this woman, the Syrophoenician woman, oh, she had a revelation. There's nobody else could heal her. To provide her needs, except this man. Right? And he is a Jew, and she is a Gentile. And she was ready to get a rebuke, huh? And just imagine if Jesus would said that to you, how do you think? You call me a daughter. I guess perhaps many of us would react. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many of us would react immediately. But she had the revelation. She realized, she thinks, she knows. Yes, truly he said, I'm a dog, that's true. But at least, even a dog picked the crumb from the master, under the master's table. And Jesus saw her faith. You see, even the book of Isaiah prophesied about the light from Israel, from the children of Israel, will go to the Gentiles. And yet, how many people notice that? Sometimes there is always a gem, a nugget, scattered throughout the Old Testament about something, and many people don't see it. Huh? And yet today Israel is still looking for the Messiah, not knowing that he had come. See? And yet here for us, we are Gentiles. Whether it be Indian, Chinese, Filipino, whatever you are. We have this grace. Because that is God's way. He had a plan from the beginning, how he wanted to do it. We cannot say why. Why did not the gospel during the day of Jesus Christ, or even after he ascended into heaven, go immediately to China? I mean, after all, there are Chinese people, there are 4,000 years of history, even China existed before Christ came. Huh? Christ came only 2,000 years ago, but China has already existed 4,000 years, 2,000 years earlier than Christ. Huh? Confucius, those and many other philosophers, even before Christ. So how come? Why did not Christ and an apostle or somebody to China? I mean, one apostle went to India. We know Thomas, and he died there. So what happened to those people in China? Are they going to, you know, perish? Because they never heard the gospel. That's why you want to understand. That's why we need to understand God's plan and God's thoughts and God's way. And that's why election comes in. You understand? That's why I believe what the Bible teaches. But few people notice the election. For those who have never heard the gospel, and yet they could be saved. Unbelievable. Those without the law will not be judged by the law. Huh? Those without the gospel cannot be judged by the gospel. Is it not true? So let us go and look at the book of Jude. Jude chapter 3 and 4. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of all ordained to the condemnation, and godly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's a good thing. Contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. And what is this faith? After all, I believe that many people have quoted this verse
contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's why we thank God for sending us a message through a messenger to turn our hearts, our hearts, back to the Apostolic Father. Because it was the faith that was started by the Apostolic Father on the day of Pentecost. Then by salvation, go back to that faith. See? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. You see, here we have that description of it. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. What is this substance? Faith is the assurance, the essence, the life of the things that we hope for. What is that that we hope for? What is it that we hope for? Huh? It's the word of God, a promise. Things that God promised, we hope for it in our days to be revealed. We know that God promised so many things. Life eternal. Now, do you know that? You know, sometimes people don't realize, after I made this many times, eternal life begins the day you're born again. Huh? Now I wonder, let's say for example, like, take for example, you're going to die. You're dying. Okay? You're young. Some of you are young. Some of you are not even senior citizens. Now you suddenly you got a disease or something and you're very scared. Oh my, I'm going to die. Then, what's going through your mind? Would it be, am I safe? Am I going to be with the Lord? Do you go through that? Do you think you'll go through that? If your mind goes through that, that means you're not even assured of your salvation. Isn't that true? If you got any disease and you know you're dying, well, just that if you are dying, you know that if you are dying, that is, and you don't want to live at all because you're tired of life, because if you are know that you are dying, you will say, Lord, are you going to take me home? If not, heal me, touch me, that I may live for you. You must have the assurance. But you know that when you're terminal, you're going to go. Then you must know that you are going to be with Christ. Otherwise, something is wrong with your ways of thinking. For the thoughts of God, the ways of God, the assurance of God are guaranteed 100%. There is no if. Maybe. No, there's no such thing. Huh? Now, when we talk about the ways of God, it is unchangeable. God doesn't change His way. Some people say, yeah, God changed His way. There are people who say, God changed His mind. God never changed His mind about His word. Huh? God permits certain things to be. And so people don't understand that, they get themselves messed up. You understand that? I always say this, simple enough, always go to the book of Genesis. Genesis, that's why the word gene is that. The beginning of life, beginning of everything, how God started and God has a certain law fixed in place. Like I said before, don't think that when we talk about law, you always think about law as life, as death. No, it's not. Law has nothing to do with death. Law means something, a principle, an order. You move out of the order, you move out of the principle, something is going to happen. That's obvious. Is it not true? So when God said to Adam and Eve, the herbs of the field, the fruits of the tree, are your food. Is that right? Sure. But how is it later on that God changed His mind? the man is allowed to eat meat. How is it so? Did God change his mind? No, he didn't. Because when sin came, when there is the heart bleeding, the body is dying. Is that right? When people heart bleed, you know, heart bleeding is a very terrible thing. A lot of food today that we eat, a hybrid food. GM, we call it GM food. I must also tell you this. Don't eat too much salmon from the north. It has been known that there is a lot of chemical that have been fed to this cod fish, salmon fish in the Baltic Ocean. And these fish are oily, and this oil absorbs this toxin. So you go and eat it? Well, eat it once a week or once a month. If you love it so much, the body is going to accumulate it. So a lot of food, because when sin came, the body is dying. Okay, so man turned to eating meat, and God permitted. But when Christ comes back and go into the millennium, that's not why the Bible calls it the age of regeneration, going back to the state as it was before. And it takes 1,000 years to bring the law up slowly, because God knows that mankind will not be able to change overnight. Can if I tell you all to go back to become vegetarian from tomorrow onwards, do you think you can do it? Shall we all do it? Oh, become vegetarian. Maybe you eat for 1 week, now your body says, oh man, I need a big steak. Because you know there is a craving. You know that's what the Bible will teach. The age of regeneration is 1,000 years. Slowly bring back, regenerate. You see. And look at the world we live in today. Since man sinned, after the flood, for example, it's a good example. It's 5,000 years, 4,000 odd years now. Huh? You see how much sin has accumulated. And how much disease it is in the body today. It's so sad that sometimes when you hear a story in news, I saw it on a video of a girl. She's 5 years old now in America. She was born without a face. Nose and eyes just all shaped. And no cheek, nothing. Nothing. When the mother was pregnant with her, they couldn't detect, the scan couldn't detect clearly what was happening. Doctor said, something is wrong with this child. But they could not see it. When the child was born, they were shocked. But the father saw her. She has all this teeth in her mouth and nose, you know. And when the father approached the child, the father said, she was struggling to pull all the tube out. And the father said, I know she's a fighter. And they kept the child. I mean, the child is born. She went through some surgery. Now she's 5 years old. Her tongue is sticking up. You know, because there's no cheek to hold it inside. There's no cheek, nothing. And the teeth is all out of shape. She couldn't speak properly. See, the gene, our body is so contaminated, mixed, hybrid. That's the thing that happened in the war. But God allows it. This thing to be. It's not because He did it that way. He knew it would happen. And man, God will hate God for that. But I have seen where children that are born to Christian family, they accept it. Because they know that it isn't God who causes this. It was the sin that brought about this. Why are you born the way you are born? Small size or big size or tall or long or whatever size. Why are you born the way you are born? Did God make you that way? Certainly not. But God allows it. this way. But his very thought is not for the whole world, to bring them to salvation. Because God knew from the very beginning, every one of us, every thought that is in our heart, in our mind. And he's looking only for what? He's looking for that seed, that elect, that he had before the foundation of the world, counsel in himself, that it is not good for Adam to be alone. Like I said this, when he said, it is not good for man to be alone, he was not talking about Adam. He was projecting the thought that he don't want to be alone. Right? And I always wonder, when I always talk about this, I always wonder, where did God come from? It is not good for me to be alone. Well, the Almighty Spirit said, but where did he come from? You know, the more I think, I won't get an answer. No matter how, you won't get an answer. Some people say, prove me God. Like someone used to say, how do you know you are here? How do you know you are real? Maybe you are sitting here is because somebody imagined you here. You know what I mean? Sitting down, sometimes you daydream, you imagine that you are somewhere on the beach or somewhere on the mountain, go hiking or something like that. You imagine you have a scenario in your mind. Maybe that's all we are. Somebody is mine. How do you know you are real? That's an honest question. I know I am because God is. And you cannot say that I'm not real, I'm real. And if you think that you are not real, you are just here because somebody imagined you to be here, that's kind of strange because I see you. So you know there's a lot of influence that we have as mankind, where Satan, who's the god of this evil world, are going about trying to influence our thinking. But the ways of God is sure. It's not corruptible. Huh? It's unchangeable. You cannot bribe God. Yeah, you can say, Lord, I know I'm dying. But if you will, heal me and allow me to live. I promise you that I will do this for you. We do not know whether God is going to take us home or not. So maybe God allows certain things to come upon your life that you're going to die, and from there God is going to teach you a lesson. You know one thing about it, when God makes a promise, he keeps the promise. Because he's not a God that lies, right? What Hebrews said so. But the problem with us humans is that when we make a promise, many times we don't keep that promise. Think about it, huh? You vow a vow, but you don't keep the vow. And that's so dangerous. I spend some people backslid. You backslid from God. And then something happened to your life. Then you promise, Lord, okay, Lord, you know, bring me back to hell. And this and that, this and that. And so God did for you. You have it. You go to church after a few months and then you don't care again. So don't make any promise, make any vow that you cannot keep. Huh? You may change your way and that's no good. We are Christians, we keep the ways of God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth and the life, let us follow him. His way is perfect. His truth. Let's lead us to eternal life. And another thing about it, God's way is fixed. As I said, not changeable. It's fixed. The time that God allocates for mankind, it will not be extended. Surely we don't know when Christ is coming to take his bride home. We do not know that day and that hour. But he is certainly returned. And return he would. The question is, are you ready for that final trump? Are you ready to get that rapturing faith? That's what when Brother Bam was talking about when he preached. He said when he preached, remember how when he preached. And then he talked about how he stirred up the faith of the people. Yeah, that's the thing about it. We need to have our faith stirred up, even for healing. He made the statement which is certainly true. How can we have faith for the rapture when you don't even have faith for healing? So there must be something to stir it up. See? And that's why even so when Abraham was given the sign. The first sign, remember, touching the hand of a person and he can tell the disease of a person. The second sign that was given to him, he don't have to touch the person anymore. Because it is a second pool that is higher up. And all you have to do is to wait for the Holy Spirit to show him a vision. And he will see the life of that man. Where he lives, what disease he has, or what he's there in the meeting for. That's the sign of the Messiah. And you know when that is manifest, how we know in the ministry of Brother Branham, it draws the people's faith to be lifted up. Exactly what Jesus did. Philip found Nathanael, come see. A man you know from Nazareth. What good thing comes out of Nazareth? Come and see for yourself. Right? So when he came to Jesus, God said, here is a man indeed who has no hypocrisy. He speaks what is on his mind. Nathanael says, how did you know me? I mean, this is the first time we met. He said, I know you, even when Philip found you under the fig tree. And whatever you spoke to Philip, I know about it. To the woman at the well, give me a drink. A Samaritan woman said, I'm a Samaritan and you are a Jew, and there's nothing in common between us, you know that? Jesus said, if you know who I am, you will ask me for living water. One living water, you don't even have a bucket to draw from a well. You see how the mind works? Just say, go call my husband. I don't have any. And Jesus said, yeah, that's true. Yeah, fine. The one you're living with now is not even your husband. The woman was taken aback. How long did you know? You know. And you know that lifted her faith to say, now I know. The prophet that will come will do this thing. That prophet that Moses spoke of. The little of faith. So now we have the third pool. We have seen the third pool being manifest in Brother Branham's life. The speaking of the word. That's why. How powerful is the speaking of the word? Moses was taught to speak to the rock, but he frustrated him. Hit it with his stick. Brother Bram experienced the spoken word 5 times. Speak the word. And that's why when we come to the word of God, you may read the Bible. Every one of us can read the Bible, but it still takes the Holy Spirit to bring life out of this Bible. Isn't that so true? This is a double-edged sword. It cuts like an operation to remove the diseased part and give life. Or it cuts to kill you. It brings life and death at the same time. Isn't that true? You open the Bible and you read, oh, the Bible said if I repent and give my life to Jesus, God, I have eternal life, right? Then you tell them about the Bible. What does it tell you? You have sinned. And the wages of your sin is death. Is that so? It tells about death. It tells about life. But the Bible here in the hand that you have for you is to give you life. Do you understand that? Huh? For those who reject it, it brings forth death. That's why there are two sides to the law. The love and the hate side. Deuteronomy, let us continue with some of these verses. Just bring that into our memory, into our remembrance anyway. Deuteronomy. And we have chapter 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. Just is God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he. He is the rock. He is the revelation of life. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. All his ways are just, faithful, upright. God of truth, without iniquity, without any wrong, just and right, righteous is the Lord. Hosea, chapter 14. Hosea, chapter 14. And verse 9. Chapter 14, verse 9. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent. And he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. And the just shall walk in them. But the transgressor shall fall therein. Do you know one thing here? As I said, is we know the Bible said so, that he that without the law will not be judged by the law. Those that never heard the gospel will not be judged by the gospel, right? And it seems that when I witness to people about the gospel, and many of them say, no, maybe they just don't hear. They heard it once and that they are sinners and Christ come to sit down, and you know, those that reject Christ will be damned, and those who accept Christ will be saved. They heard it one time, they want to shut up everything. No, Jesus. No gospel, please, no. No, don't. You know, I will have experience. I've talked to many of them. For many years when I was in the denomination and get the gospel out, they all have these reactions to me. A large number of them have this reaction. No. I don't want to know. You see. And are they not be judged? They will still be judged, of course. They say, I never heard the gospel really. In Singapore, it's saturated the gospel. There are churches everywhere. In an office like this. Down the corner, a big mega church. Or in a little shop house, a little Baptist church. Of course, today you don't hear, you don't see people go to the door. Hardly Christians go to the door and knock on your door and preach. When I was young, in the 60s, 70s, I go. Door to door. Preach the gospel. Took the bus across the causeway in JB. Go door to door. Took a train. Go to Malacca. Took a train. Go over to KL. Brickfield. There's a place called Brickfield. I used to go there. Took a train. Go over to Penang. Door to door. Place to place. I preach. Of course, people have a sweet way. Sometimes, in those days, people accept, you know, and they talk to them. But today, it's kind of hard. People brush you away because they have seem to be busy. Isn't that so? Even at the bus interchange, You know how people are trying to sell the credit card or some kind of insurance or the phone or what? I don't know what, something like what they are selling, or maybe investment. Huh? You can see that they're trying to approach everybody just steal it. You know what I mean? They don't have the time. That's true. Here in Singapore, we are just, oh, today's paper said, are Singaporeans so uncompassionate? Yeah, I think so. Okay, let's go look at Romans 11:33. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. Oh, can you find out the ways of God? That's why the ways of God, the thoughts of God, are higher than your way, than my way. You can still not search it out. His thoughts are so much higher. He knows more than you do, of God, obviously. He knows what He's doing. You know, just like the issue of this recent plane that got lost. At first they say, down the sea, explode, this and that. Nobody knows what happened to it. You see, the thing is that when you enter a plane as a passenger, you are at the mercy of the person sitting at the cockpit. Assume that all the passengers are not guilty. They're normal citizens on a happy holiday trip. You know, the pilot and the first officer out there. Anything, what's going on in life, you do not know. Get up in the morning, have a quarrel with the wife, had a bad day. You have a bad, then you have a situation. Do you understand that? Yes. So, whenever we go anywhere, in the train, the bus, everything is at the bus stop. If you go to India, Brother Joseph, you go to India? Okay. Those of you who go to India, you know. If you ever seen a taxi, an Indian taxi, the traffic there is chaotic, and the driver can be, wow, I don't know, Formula One Grand Prix driver or something. And you're ready to scare you. My son will be me, he knows. A car just, taxi driver just went between two buses. One parked on the left, this one is moving. He just went and barely inches to squeeze through. I mean, they're a good driver. I mean, I must give their thumb up to India. But it's so scary. At night, when I was traveling, I got out from Bombay Airport at 11 plus, checked out, it was midnight. So I have to go. I don't know, about more than an hour drive to the village, to Busawa. And we were in a taxi. And you know, you're passing, it's not on the main highway, you know, it's a village. You go through little houses, a little narrow way. And, oh my goodness, his servant passed. And somebody, he jumped a black man, because there is a cow there walking. And he just jumped on. You know, so you just imagine, at night. So your life is in somebody's hand. But our life too, our eternal life, I mean, we are secure. The pilot is Christ. Amen. We don't have to worry. Then we know such thing as get lost somewhere. Okay, so you look at what the word here says. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. We can never know the way of God. There's still a lot of things we don't really know. Why on earth? Sometimes you want to look at this vast universe. You heard about the black hole? Einstein said that's impossible. But now they talk about this black hole, the mass and the power and the density. I don't know how they find out. How does the scientist find that out? That it has such a great gravitational pull. And, you know, when everything is sucked in, it's gone. Whatever. I don't understand that. And why on earth? There's so many black holes up there and all this galaxy and all this stars up there. How many millions of miles are there in space? Huh? What did God create the way He created it? Well, you know, the Bible says it's for His own good pleasure. And this is what He enjoyed. Right? I mean, I think even adults, even when we are at this age, some are senior citizens, we still sometimes play with things, huh? I mean, you can see children play things and Lego or plasticine, you know, they shape and make funny thing. You know, you look at them, you're amazed. I mean, I think God is just a little bit childish too. Don't you think so? God is a bit childish because He amuses Himself. He amuses us. Look at the platypus. You know the platypus? The duck-billed platypus, the animal? Well, it's not a mammal. It's not a reptile. It's not even a bird. What on earth is that? It lays, eh? Breathe. And yes, I don't know. It's just very strange. You know, so when you look at that, you want to laugh. And the first time I ever saw a hyena on a documentary, I never know how the hyena, you know, when they bark, whatever you call that. When they start to make noise, it was laughing. My goodness, you know what? I almost stumbled out of my seat because I never heard it the way it was laughing like that. You know, it's really funny. So God, the Bible says God created all this for His own good pleasure. But not just for His own good pleasure, for us even to enjoy. When I was in Fiji, I went out there on the island at night. We just go out there and rest. Because it is not like a Singapore city. It's an island. There's no light, hardly any light around. You lie down on the beach, you can see, oh my, billions and millions of stars out there. And now lie down there, you can see shooting star. Shoot, shoot. Down here, you try to see what you can see. You see nothing. I mean, it's amazing, it's just fantastic. Look at all the galaxy out there. Hey, I know God is because I am. And I saw His handiworks, His ways, for His own good pleasure. But there are things that He's doing for us that sometimes we don't understand. But we as children, let us go on to learn. Matthew 21:44. Matthew 21:44. Here is a good thing here. We talk about these thoughts of God, these ways of God, the Word of God. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. And on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Oh my dear. You know, the Word of God, the wisdom of God is unsearchable. He's the Word. He's the life. The word stone here means, well, you know how the Bible used stones. Huh? You're all lively stones. Are you not? We're all lively stones. Okay? We're all stones in the building of God. Christ is the chief cornerstone. Is that right? The word stone means a rock. I mean, if you take a piece of a stone like this, sometimes we call it a rock. And don't throw the rock, you know? Sometimes we just take and call it a stone. So, stone or rock, depending on how you use it. So here we read here, whosoever shall fall on this stone. This stone refers to Christ Himself, the Word of Life. And He says that, and whomsoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall will grind to powder. You know, the Bible in another place, I think Isaiah says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of man, rather fall into the hands of God. That's what King David said. Because when you fall into the hands of God, you fall upon the stones and the Word of God. It means literally you are falling on it and you surrender. You have eternal life. You'll be saved. But on the other way, if it falls on you, it means it's judging you. Do you see what I'm talking about? So Jesus came when He was lifted up. He said, the Son of Man be lifted up. I shall draw all men to myself. He wants man to come. Whosoever will come, fall upon me, fall upon this rock that God provides. So be saved. If not, when it comes to fall in you, it's judgment. When you reject it, that stuff. Let us go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 24. And verse 14. And David said unto God, I'm in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of a man. Oh, I think that is also very true. You know what, especially as Christian. Now I stand before you as a servant of God to teach you, to guide you. I know my calling. And you as a sheep. No. When you look at me, whether you trust me or not, it's your choice. Brother Brown made this statement. He says, find the best teacher you can find and stay with him. Is that right? Brother Brown said that. He said, find the best teacher you can find and stay with him. We all make a choice. We go to a church, we listen to the preacher, and we find that the teaching is alright, then we want to make that our church home. We want to make that as a place of the assembly that we want to be a part of. But if you go and find that the teaching is no good, it's contrary to the word of the Lord, then you don't want to be there. Because you don't want to be a part of that confusion. Of course, there are people that have no choice, no places to go. But they still need worship, still need fellowship. Just go to any place on a Sunday. Just to worship there. You know what I mean? Just remember the Lord's Day. That is to say, just go under there with Christians, even though they are not really understanding the word of the Lord, not even know the truth. Just go there and worship the Lord. And get to know some Christian people. But if you ever find a place that you want to stay, be part of that body, that local body. Be a part of, be a pillar also as well. To strengthen that body for the ministry of Christ. And I want to thank God because since all these years when God called me into the ministry, back then, as I said in the 70s, I told the Lord, I just make a covenant with him. I said, if you give me 10 faithful ones, just 10, that's all I need. I will do the ministry. Only 10. I never asked 10 for support or money or anything like that because I was working. I want to have 10 faithful believers who knows the truth, who know the importance of the ministry, you know, who will pray, who will be in one accord, and then that will work. That's all I ask. And God never failed. You make a covenant with God, I says, I make a covenant with him, I will do the work until the day I die. Or until the day he comes. Truth will keep us in the way. But where there is, you know, make-believe, false doctrines being propagated, there people don't grow. I can guarantee you that. The people will be in a mess of confusion until they rid the doctrines out of their life. And that's what happened in the Philippines, in Manila. For the last 3 years when I was there, I told them. I saw what was going on. All that self-importance trying to correct the things. Find it very hard for them to say, no, Brother Gunn, you want to be the chief among us. That's what one brother said. And then what happened? That spirit creeps in and you have this, what we call
the angel of the Lord, or you know, the angel came and ministered to the son of a pastor, and all kinds of things happened. They continued for 1 year. Now what happened? It was such a mess that the body of ministers decided to excommunicate that minister because of false prophecy, because of not getting right with people. Accusations were made where Brother Osel was involved. You see. So this is where how dangerous it is when people get puffed up. And I always tell the Lord, keep me humble. But let me speak the truth. People get hurt, but I have to speak the truth. Because why? Truth will hurt anyway. And either you listen or you don't listen. That's it. Huh? So let us do just what we ought to do. Knowing that we have this mercy and the grace of God, let us walk by His way. Isaiah, now let's go and look at Isaiah 55 verse 11 again, that verse. Isaiah 55 and the verse 11 there. Okay, so shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, for it shall accomplish that which I please. What God want to do? I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I send it. Even though we cannot accept it many times, but He do it as the way He please. Sometimes you say, why God, you do this? Why do Lord you do that? Why Lord you allow these things to be? But the more that we understand God's wisdom, and when we see and understand His truth, we understand that He had a purpose. Take for example, last century, earlier 20th century, God sent a revival, 1906-1909, speaking in tongues. Gift came, prophecy, right? Remember, all this was started because in the heart of certain Christians, Episcopalian, Methodist, Presbyterian, Mennonites, and so many others, they are tired of the religious system. So they wanted to have power from God. So they gather in the warehouse, friends, they call, all those who are not satisfied come, and then they just have fellowship, prayer meeting, and it started to grow, people come. I don't know how many months they pray and pray and pray. Until one day God sent His gift, and people start speaking in tongues. And they begin to prophesy. They felt the power of God. No? And then they get the gift. They went out healing, praying for the sick. God started the revival. Not long after that. I mean, what did God do that for? I mean, that's the way God does it. But what did He do in America, Azusa Street? And what did He do that in Europe? Why don't you do it somewhere like in China? We can ask ourselves a question. Why did God send a Chinese messenger? Why on earth an American one? We will ask that, huh? Correct. And you know that all the apostles are Jew. None of them is a Gentile. None of them was a Gentile. Huh? But when God did it the way He did it, the way it's none of our business. But that's His choice. He chose to operate it this way. But now that we can understand, you know that the gospel went from Israel westward to Europe. Then it crossed over the Atlantic Ocean to where? To America. First leg, second leg, now He crossed the Pacific Ocean to Asia, the third leg. And God works in three. And after that, the gospel is over for the Gentile, it goes back to Israel. God do it that way. Justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost baptism. So if He wants to do the way, He do it. So what is there for us to say? Then now, the message was given. Come out of her, my people!
back to the apostolic faith. Calling forth. Huh? The message went throughout the denomination. Now, I wasn't a denomination, an assemblies of God. Man, I was really proud being an assemblies of God. Because I know the history said that assemblies of God, what the Pentecostal move was the final move. I thought it was the final move, huh? You know? So what, there's nothing else after all? This is the revival. This is the latter rain. I was told it was the latter rain. So every time I go, I see a Methodist, a Presbyterian. Do you speak in tongues? If those things die, don't have the Holy Ghost. So I mean, we're taught that. And in my Bible, not this one, I have several. You know what? I was so proud that I used the church seal, you know? You know the seal? That you press onto the paper, you create the seal mark. Yeah. I was so proud that I sealed it. I'm an assemblies of God. Wow. I prayed to Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, three person. Just imagine that, huh? Father, 20 minutes, I talk to him, talk to Jesus, 20 minutes, and Holy Spirit, 20 minutes, all equal. But you know what? When the message came, wow, but God prepared me for the message. Before I even know the message, before I even knew the message, I already heard of William Marlon Branham. They are Pentecostal, you know, you get all this Pentecostal movement news. And I saw about, heard about his ministry, but I never heard about the God, the message. Until that night, one night, I got the book, Sermon Church Age. So sitting home in the night, reading for the first few pages, interesting, it's about the Godhead. Then he started to talk about only one God. And then he make a statement, and I said, I'm not going to read this book anymore. A simple statement. That's so if you have a ear to hear, let him hear. And take it how you read. And what you read. And what was that statement that was written in that book? In the first chapter? Three persons of the same identical substance makes three gods. Or else language is not language. Oh my goodness. You know, I read that I closed the book. It was 11 o'clock in the night. And I was in a dream and my mother was sitting near the window looking out, you know, HDB window, you know, those Louvre time. And I says, Lord, what am I believing in? This simple statement makes sense. Three persons of the same identical substance. First person, Father is God. Son is God. Holy Spirit is God. Father not the Son, Son not the Father. Huh? Father, not the Holy Spirit, not the Father. You know that, how you describe it. And then that statement, three persons of the same identical substance, God must be three gods. So our language is not language. And I closed the book, I said, Lord, you show me. I'm not going to read this book anymore. Take me through the Bible. And I went through a whole month, on and off fasting, while I was working, in the night, in the hospital, night shift, 9 to 7 o'clock in the morning, 9 to 7 in the morning, when the patient are sleeping, study, from Genesis to Revelation. I take it all the notes, now make a thesis. That's when I left the church, I give it to the church. And that's the book that you read out there, Logos, the beginning of the creation of the Lord. And God opened my eyes to see. Simple way of God. Unsearchable riches. God work in mysterious way. Right? And when he showed me about the Godhead, that particular bit of man, he finally spoke to me and said, you need to be baptized again in the name of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, there's no such thing as eternal hell. Because I believe in eternal hell to burn and burn and not finish. Huh? Immediately I went to water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, my eyes were so open. That's just why God said the word of 1 John 1:5. God is light. In him is no darkness. God is light. In him is no darkness. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is not tradition. What doubtless means tradition. Anything that binds, anything that's contrary to the word of God, puts the person in darkness. Is that true? You see, how dark is that darkness in the churches today? The darkest church that you can find is the Catholic Church. With all the man-made things, rituals. Look at the charismatic today. They are the one that Satan will use to pull in all the churches together and send them back to Rome. Yes? So what do we do? But I thank God for that. Let us continue a few more minutes. So, God's way and thoughts. God do as He please. But He will prosper in it. The thing, that He, the word is sent out, it will return back to Him. But not empty-handed. Alright, there are two classes of people in the world today. Or in the church, you will say. Either you're class one or class two. There's no two and one and a half. Either we are this side or on that side. We cannot sit on the fence, as to say. But you know what? There are the ways of men in the world today. Out there. That is the way of the so-called church. Like what we see. Like what you see in the charismatic movement today. The ways of the churches, so-called churches. But there is the way of the true bride of Christ. And what is the way of the true bride of Christ? The bride follow who? The bridegroom. He has to. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my words. Is that right? Sure. And the servant is no greater than the master. Love me, keep my commandment. Follow me. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. There's nothing we can do as a Christian except to follow the way of life. We can say whatever we want about being a Christian, about believer, I'm an anti-message believer. That's a lot of words coming out of our mouth, and that's why I say sometimes we lie to ourselves. We bluff ourselves. I'm a believer. I'm an anti-message believer. Really? Do you follow the word? Do you thirst for the word of truth? That makes the difference. Why are the anti-message today? Look at it. I'm telling you, this is the truth. The anti-message Jesus to including this fellowship. Why is there a lack of love, compassion, and power? Why? Think about it. As I said this many times, it's very true. You know. We are here many times. Just to please God a little bit. You know what I mean? Just to make sure that God sees us in the fellowship on Sunday. Right? Do we really go to church like King David? I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Really? Do you really have that compassion? You know, when I want someone to come to the house of the Lord, not just here. But that also gave us a picture. Yeah, I wanted to be in that place when He comes. But if here we don't show that action, I don't think that we really long for that. It's just only make-believe in our mind. But again, the Bible says, I'm saved, I have eternal life. I know you have eternal life. I know every Christian out there, as long as they are born again, they have eternal life. You agree with that? Because Jesus said, you must be born again. But what do you do when you are born again? when you are born into this world as a little baby, your mother came out feeding you milk. 6 months later, continue feeding milk. 1 year later, still milk. 2 years later, still milk. What happened to you? You want to know what happened to you? This is what happened to you. Because you cannot stand. That's what Paul said. Weed from the milk. Take meat. Oh, but meat is so hard to take there. So hard to chew. Oh, in Africa, there are some tribes where the people come together and there is this big hollow out tree trunk. Huh? They put, I don't know what kind of cereal into it with water, and then they'll come and there and put, now I'm going to chew and spit it out and let it ferment. Everyone sit there and everybody eating, everybody's saliva and super soul and spit it out. Oh, what did that say? Sweet, nice, tasty. It's very digestible. Because it's already been digested out there with all the saliva and fermentation, bacteria. Woo! That's what people do, huh? You go to churches and that's what you are getting. Regurgitated, traditional food, and you are eating and you say, easily digestible, sure. What else is new? That's why the book of Revelation, what did the angel say? Take John, take the book, take the little book from the angel's hand. Huh? And what? Eat it. This is the book. So John was told to eat. Eat it! Sweet to your mouth. But when it gets in, it's bitter. Because why? It's going to do a work in you. And many times we don't like it. When God tries to strengthen you, mature you, you find it so hard. You don't want it. You want an easy, comfortable life. Isn't it true? Remember always this. You're here, or we call this the Sabbath. Maybe you don't know this a lot, say. We call it a Sabbath because from your rest, huh? From your work, okay? Let's say Sabbath. So which is greater? This Lord of the Sabbath or the Sabbath? You're here for what? Just because it's the Lord's day you come? Don't remember. Don't forget. You're here to honor the Lord's resurrection. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the resurrection. Because He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. That's the purpose of that. Okay? Now I just want to close, and I know there's a whole lot more. We just can continue. In closing, let me say this here. We are preparing for the coming of the Lord. We know that there is going to be a revival. And I believe what Brother Bam said to be true. The bride never had a revival. The revival you see in the churches are always for the sinners to come, to get saved, to be healed. You know that, don't you? Look at Brother Bam's ministry itself. Thousands and thousands of people that come. They want to be healed. They're seeking for truth, for salvation. But the believer themselves, we don't have a revival, a real revival. And I believe we're going to see that. That's the reason why when you read the book that I wrote or preached before, from glory to glory. From an egg to a caterpillar. And the caterpillar starts eating, and each time it gets big, it sheds its skin. It gets big. Several times. Until it reaches a certain maturity, it stops eating. And that starts to spin a cocoon around it. We need to eat. And eat and eat this word of God. Until one day we don't have to eat this anymore. How do we know we don't have to eat this anymore? It means the time has come. When God will send that thunders and the spoken word will be spoken, and that's when you have the revival. Those of us who are blind will get the eyes. Those who have no ears will get the ears. Those who are bent over will get straightened. Just like Abraham and Sarah, they will make young again. In heaven, or in that other dimension you go to, you don't have white hair. Brother Tiang, you don't worry about it. Huh? Brother Joe, you will get all yours back. Every hair on our head, they are numbered. Remember? Correct? I don't know how many hair you have on your head. But I will get everyone back. And you are paralyzed on one side, Sister Lucy, you will be made whole. Every one of us will be mature looking. There's no baby over there. There's no old man or old woman over there. Every one of us will be in the prime of life. Then we will spend that, well, what we call that, honeymoon, oh well, the grand marriage supper. Then we'll come back with Jesus Christ on a honeymoon on this earth. We will rule the nations of this earth for 1,000 years. That's what we need to prepare for. We are looking for that. We want to escape the tribulation. We want to get up there while the world is going into the Antichrist spirit. But there will be a whole lot of disaster, a lot of tribulation, persecution that comes upon the nations of the world. So remember this. We are here to know the way of God, His truth, and the life that He has for us. Amen? The Lord bless you. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, O Lord. You have been so wonderful to us, Father, to give us eternal life and to know the truth. We want to walk close with you, Father. Let your words, O Lord, be the substance, O Father, of life that we long for every day. Help us not to be satisfied that, oh, we are Christian, we are a child of God. But even as a child, there is a reaction to the Father of life. The Father that brought him into this world. There must be a relationship. The knowledge of the very one that gives life. So Father, I pray that each and every one of us here, Father, desire that. Thirst for righteousness and thirst for more of Christ Jesus in each and every one of our life. So Father, I thank you for your grace. Bless everyone and bless the rest of the day in Jesus' name.